What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Demo Team Podcast. I know it's been quite a long break, but I'm very glad to be back. I'm really glad we finally got this guest on. It's Danny Lake Sprague, correct? Is that, did I say that correctly? Your last name?
Yeah, it's a weird one, right? Lakey Sprague.
Lakey Sprague. Okay. Well, it's honestly really cool to get you on because I feel like we've known each other forever, like online, talking on Facebook and stuff.
For sure.
That's just kind of how things go these days, though, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like Plus Fest and Demo Team podcast has been kind of revolving around the same circles for a while.
Pretty much, yeah. And Danny's here to talk about his upcoming music festival this weekend, Plus Fest 3. So can you tell me what is Plus Fest to you? Like, what is, how would you define it? What is like the mission? What is like what it is to you?
So it started as a way to kind of get all of our like resident math rock nerds out of their houses and together in a physical place. And it started like kind of like a local celebration back in I guess 2018 when it was just at Killer's Tacos. The headliners were like Half Sleep and Hikes, where it's just like all kind of localized peeps. And then it's just started growing to, I guess, as much as I could possibly grow it, which is, now we have Mylett's and bands like Silhouette of Nudon. So yeah, it just
Dwellings.
became, fucking Dwellings. Oh my gosh. I don't know if we could curse on here. I'm sorry about
Oh, you can
that.
curse. Don't worry.
Hell
We're
yeah.
letting it all out. It's all right.
Good
Say some
shit.
crazy stuff. Not too
Yeah.
crazy. You got a festival coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Got to watch it. But yeah, no, it's basically just become, especially this last year, a celebration of weird, unorthodox music.
I love that. Obviously the demo team, we love weird unorthodox music. Give us the weird time signatures and the the pull on offs and all that shit. We love it. So
Hell yeah. As do we, as do we. Yeah.
but I like how you kind of defined it as like getting the all the math rock people like out of their houses and stuff. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like it's a very internet-based genre,
That's
especially
true. Yeah.
coming to a head in like, the past 10, 15 years or so. So, I really kind of just wanted at the beginning to like meet the folks I've been chatting with online, just in the way that, we're getting to meet still online, but more face to face like here. So
Exactly. So, what have you been working on like today? Like, 'cause you got a whole festival coming up this weekend, a whole 2-day festival. What were you working on recently?
It's a lot of like day of prep. I am so incredibly lucky to have a legitimate team around Plus Fest this time around, working with the folks in Dallas Independent Entertainment, Jesse and Daisy. And then I actually brought somebody on to my team in Bolivar Booking, which is my like non-Plus Fest like booking circle, I suppose, Alex Martinez, and then two other folks. It's Cantu and Christian Torres of Abelia.
All right.
They're like my full team. We've been kind of like just spreading out the workload, especially with like talent buying and stuff like vendors and that. So I've basically just been getting my team prepped in the way that, I'm gauging how they're feeling, patching up little bits and pieces like getting all the stage plots together. And I want to give a shout out to Daisy because she has been a freaking wizard or witch or whatever with the vendors, man. We had our one of our main vendors, Scoochie Skateboards. Their representative or CEO or whatever got like news that they're having a kid like way premature than they were supposed to, so they have to like jet out. And she found a skateboard replacement vendor in like 4 hours, like incredible.
Just
Just
like
boom,
boom, just right, just filled that void immediately.
I don't know how she does it, but I'm
I
super
mean,
lucky to have that team. So been doing that, and then a lot of content stuff. Like I have those like little subgenre breakdown things that I've been posting on the Plus Fest Insta, which I'm a graphic designer. So like having those to both inform people kind of outside the scope of knowledge of like math rock and stuff about what they can expect, and being able to do something that's like highly designed. It's kind of like the intersection of my two passions. So doing that and a lot of the informational stuff. So like getting a an advance together for the bands, the so we're all like kind of on the same page on the day of, so very busy.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff sounds very important. I will say, I guess two things. One, DIE is great. They do great work in Dallas. You should definitely hit them up for if you're one of the bands listening and y'all want to come roll through DFW, hit up DIE for sure. And also, the graphic design has been honestly very, very good. Very, very, very impressive. And I mean, I don't know anything about graphic design at all. I mean, I try my best. I get on Paint and like whatever the Google version of PowerPoint is and put shit together. But Danny's doing a great job with that. You should definitely check like just some of the design stuff in general. I think is just really cool, honestly. And like I've enjoyed looking at some of the stuff. It is very cool, like very cool palettes and gradients and things like that. So
much love, man. I appreciate it. It's been a long time in the works.
Well, you can definitely tell that there's a lot of, you know, time put into it for sure.
Thank you.
But let's throw back a little bit. How did you get into this type of music?
Yeah. I mean, my math rock origin story is, I guess, kind of like a...
You got bit by a math rock spider?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I got bit by a math rock spider and woke up tapping on a guitar that I didn't know. Anyway, me and my sister Kat were back in Houston where we both grew up at a record store. I don't remember which one it was, but she like found a record that she was like, hey, somebody told me to look this band up, and it was Porcupine Tree. It's like an old fucking like prog math like almost psyche like amalgamation of like just like a pretext to like modern math rock. And I remember digging it. There was a couple songs I liked. But I learned from their YouTube channel of a band called TT&G. At the time, This Town Needs Guns.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. So
great math rock starter for sure.
Oh, fucking absolutely. And it was actually pretty far along because I was totally a like Warped Tour, like post-hardcore kid. Back in the day, like A Day to Remember was my shit. But I eventually got, you know, a little bit more interested in something that wasn't so like bro-y, you know? and I remember listening to Cat Fantastic as my very first song that was definitively math rock. And it just kind of, as anything that I'm like mega interested in, I just like dive the fuck into it. Mm-hmm. And I don't stop. Passion, like the passionate stuff that I do dive directly into, and music, which is the thing that I like gravitate towards the most in life, I would say, those were a perfect storm to just kind of like get super into that whole sphere of sounds. And I was very much into like Rush and shit as a kid. I got my hands on this hard drive that my dad collected during his like 20s, 30s, like that era. And like the very first band I ever really fell in love with was Rage Against the Machine. And it's just because I like found that band on his hard drive. Yes and Rush were both bands like that, that I just found and were like, this is weird. I like it. So I had been kind of prepped in my younger years for really enjoying like Odd Time Signatures, weird pedals, and just like strange sensibilities that kind of differ from the like pop norm.
Rush had some very interesting stories to tell for sure. And so did Yes, I think too.
Yeah, definitely. And in that same vein,
Rage Against the Machine as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were a little bit more political, which at the time I was like, oh, that's cool. And now I'm like, yeah, but... But in that same vein, I was shown Led Zeppelin very early, and they have some weird shit going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, as I got into like the more like local scene, I was very much attracted to finding bands like that and bringing them together, hence Boss Fest.
Absolutely. And so I guess you found your way up to Denton at some point because you're from Houston, correct?
Yeah, I went to UNT.
I mean, like, Denton's obviously like is like a very good place for like math rock, but like, what was like the scene? Was there a scene in Houston, I guess, when you were there? Or?
Yeah, there was quite a few scenes in Houston that were kind of differentiated from themselves. I was in this like very small, like almost pop punk, but kind of just like rock and roll band in high school. And we like opened for like water parks and shit like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
it was like that little pop punk sliver. But there was definitely a huge like metalcore scene in Houston
Metal, yeah.
back then. And then it started to get to a point where like not swancore, but like prog slash post-hardcore, like Vox Vosis and those kind of people, started to like be the main center for me, at least in Houston, once I wasn't there anymore going to shows. But like that metalcore and hardcore was very much the Houston scene back then.
Absolutely. But I guess Denton, it doesn't really feel like it's that like kind of metalcore hardcore stuff. It's all like very indie, very
Yes.
like, you know, more traditional punk, more like on obviously math rock, like very. So I kind of feels like you kind of change. That's kind of quite a change to go from like those scenes to like the Denton scene. So
yeah, it was, and it kind of followed along the lines of how I changed in consuming music, where like I stopped going to like the Warped Tour kind of scenes and started doing more like local shows and that sort of thing. And I had a roommate slash bandmate in college that turned me on to like, first it was like Title Fight and that sort of stuff, where I was very much a fan of like the polished vocals back in the day. Like, oh, if they're not like doing like pop singing in the chorus and screams in the verses,
Absolutely,
like, yeah, fuck it.
yeah.
And then I just like started to get more into those like strange song structures and sensibilities. I remember seeing the very first band I ever saw in Denton. I didn't know I was seeing them. It was on the UNT campus at this random like pavilion sort of thing. And they had all these crazy lights. So I just like went and sat, and they ended after playing a bunch of different weird indie like froggy songs, and they were like, hey, we've been Dome Dwellers, good to like, you know, play here or whatever on the UNT campus. And I was like, that's a weird name, that's kind of crazy. And I just started like kind of following them, following like bands like Two Nights and stuff in their local shows and that sort of thing. After starting a band, I was very much like going to those smaller shows, which led me to enjoy that sort of thing, and like the raw and like completely unshaped nature of like house shows and like just like in indie music in general.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess for those who don't know about what Denton is like this small college town north of Fort Worth, north of Dallas, Fort Worth. And I mean, it's known, it has a school there, the University of North Texas, which is known for its like music program, primarily jazz. But because of that, it gained this reputation as like a really good area for like live music, but usually not like your mainstream pop or rock or things like that. It's more like indie, like especially indie rock, punk, and like I said earlier, punk, like mathcore is really like hit it off there before. And like it's also has like this really DIY feel to it too, which I think kind of really contributes to the type of scene it, like the type of bands that kind of like claim in the bands that like, you know, get like grow there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's this kind of like ebb and flow, this like fight against I guess like the developers, if you want to boil it down to that, in Denton, where there's not a whole lot of like venues popping up, like legitimate venues where people can like congregate in large numbers, not just like your 200, 300 cap, but like your 1,000 cap venues plus. So from that springs a lot of your like house show venues, your anti venues like Killer's Tacos, J&J's, Pizza Rip, that sort of thing. So you do get a lot of those like, hey, instead of like, you know, refining your sound so you can get on these large stages to open for, you know, larger bands.
It's not like going to Gilly's in South Dallas. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're just doing what happens in the music instead of like trying to refine yourself.
And it is honestly really cool. I wish I honestly could have gone there more often when I lived in Dallas. Like, I feel like I didn't go there for like 10 whole years just because it's like almost, I mean, it's 40 hours away from, I guess, one of the last place I lived in Dallas. So, but it is a really cool place. I mean, just to visit, like you don't even have to go to a show there. It is a cool town for sure. Just to check out on a weekend if you feel like it.
Yeah, but, it's a cute town.
I guess, were you like putting on shows like throughout high school or like, did you already have that kind of exposure before you went up to Denton, or was that something you kind of picked up when you moved there?
I played in a really crappy band in high school that was playing not house shows, but like your fucking pay to play, like Afton Entertainment shows. These like, if you don't sell 40 tickets, you're like paying them for the rest of the tickets kind of shit, which between you and me, we had we basically got together because the singer wanted to be in a band and she was from a really rich family. So she would just like buy tickets. And that was like a very like they bought all of our like gear and shit. It was a really weird experience. And it was definitely like the antithesis of DIY. So when I was able to like get into a space where we could kind of get from the ground up, we weren't being kind of like inadvertently shepherded into like a certain type of music because, oh, we, you know, my parents bought your,
so you
know,
gotta
guitar.
Do what
so yeah.
We're driving
exactly.
The bus. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I kind of like fell in love with the band process. And by extension, the way that you can put smaller bands on without it being like a capitalist showdown, if you will. when I went from campus living to an apartment to living in a house, I moved into a house in 2016 on a street called Bolivar Street. And before we had everything moved in, before we had like full furniture set up and everything, we threw our first house show. And it was with like Sunrise Pilots, Fox Bosis from Houston, and Crimson Arrow, who the singer of Crimson Arrow is Rocky from Snow Farming, who will be at Plus Fest. And that was the start of what we called Bolivar Street Paper Company, which was a totally shitty name, like for a venue.
But I think that's pretty cool, honestly. Oh, wait, is that an office reference?
It absolutely is an office reference. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what everyone was watching in college back then, right?
Yeah, until we got way too stoned and started watching Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that was kind of the transition. I think it was like you watch The Office when you're a freshman and then you get Rick and Morty like sophomore, junior.
Get inducted into the Rick and Morty.
Exactly.
Dear God. It's cringe now, but back in the day, that was
some shit. Yeah, exactly. I remember when they announced like season 3 and I like at a party and like I looked at my phone and I like yeah and I like yelled out loud in front of like a bunch of people and everyone was like, yo, it's fake, and I'm like, and then no. But then it wasn't fake actually, but whatever. I haven't really watched Rick and Morty since.
It's probably good.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a big deal back then. I think we're like the same age based off just the shows we were watching, I would guess. But
yeah, I think so too. But yeah, that venue, that house venue, was kind of the start of what I do now. When we stopped throwing shows there, which we were able to put on some pretty cool shows, like Fossil Youth played there on one of their last shows. They're from Oklahoma. And then a band called Meet Me in Montauk played there. I don't know if you ever listened to that band, but they have a fantastic, like, album called Where the Grass Meets the Pavement, they basically led into Mom Jeans.
Yeah, that's, I was like, I remember Meet Me in Montauk. I was just like trying to put together exactly what it was. We had Mom Jeans.
Yeah.
Mom
They got
Jeans.
objectively shittier, but I'm also not a, like, I don't even know what you call that. Like weed emo kind of a guy.
Weed emo.
So weed
I
emo.
mean, when did that album come out? Like, let me
talking
see.
About Best Buds.
Yeah, Best Buds.
That had
were
to
they in
be
like that wave that kind of happened 2016? They were kind of after that, I guess.
Yeah, I think they were like 2018, 2017, because one of our first like shows as Bolivar booking without being like a house venue, we had at Killer's Tacos, and it was right when they put out, it was Mom Jeans right when they put out Best Buds. So it must have been like 2017, something like that.
So I guess that was like that apartment, or was it a house, is what
it was, a house. Yeah,
it was a house. And that was like the first show you like put on yourself, I guess, with your, I guess, what, roommates and friends? Or
yeah, I was with this one roommate who was also my bandmate at the time, John. We had a little falling out, so I'm not going to talk about him much, but he was the
Yeah, I feel
other,
you, man.
like, yeah, it happens, dude. But he was like that main creative force behind the band I was in college, The Victory at Maple, which we were like kind of like a progressive pop punk band, whatever the fuck that means. So
hell yeah. I mean, I listened to it. Is it on Spotify? Should we listen to it?
Oh man, not Spotify, but Apple Music. I think we got
Apple
some
Music.
stuff
Okay.
Back on there.
Victory and Maple.
Victory at Maple, yeah.
All right, everyone look up Victory and Maple.
Oh,
well,
God.
actually, I don't know. I guess y'all had a falling out. Are we going to give your old friend money if we do that?
I don't care. Not enough.
Not enough.
He's a lawyer or some shit now, so it's going to be a drop in the bucket. But
Nice.
Yeah, I know. We if you want to hear me sing, there you go, because I don't sing on anything like new, like Brave Days or Yearner, my new stuff. Like, I don't sing at all.
You don't sing at all. Well, not even a
Howdy.
little backup every now and then.
A little backup. I have two backup vocals on the Brave Days EP.
Well, you gotta keep an ear out for that, for Danny singing a little bit of backup. So, I mean, I guess every DIY show is almost kind of like a festival, right? Because it's like you almost always have to have like a huge lineup, it seems like. Or I guess you could just let them play for a really long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny take. Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're going for.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
We definitely had some packed shows back in the day, like six, seven bands for no reason. But we aren't like, you know, there's some crazy like metal shows and shit that have like 18 bands in one day, and it's like, how do you even make that work? You know.
Dude, that's that would be my kind of party, honestly. Oh, just a whole day of metal and drinking and partying deep into the night.
Yeah, exactly. Standing out in the courtyard smoking a cigarette while the band's playing. No,
exactly. That exactly.
DIY, yeah.
Just like go through different iterations of brain groups and things like that, and like people, it's that was just, I don't know. If you're into that kind of stuff, those are golden days, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. With Plus Fest, we are hitting our ceiling, I think, at 15 bands a day. I'm like doing the logistics on that. I'm like, load in at 11. No, we're not doing more bands than this next time. No way. I'm getting old, man. Just
that
gotta,
is
gotta start.
Honestly very, I mean, that is packed, honestly. Like, you're going, like, is there any real like downtime, honestly, between bands, I guess?
No.
No.
If you stand in like on
right
one
in the
stage.
middle.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're ping ponging back and forth, there's no downtime whatsoever. If you stand on one stage, which everyone should listen to every band, watch every band. But
Absolutely.
if you're standing on one stage, there's like a set between each band. So we're doing like intermittent sets.
Okay.
It's gonna be a marathon, but it definitely delivers like the best continued entertainment for our showgoers, which is the goal.
Absolutely. When would you say you put on like your first, which you would consider a festival, maybe not just like a straight up DIY, or I mean, I guess it's all DIY, but like
Yeah,
what?
pretty DIY.
Yeah.
My very first festival was called Minifest. It was also in 2017. It was at Killer's Tacos,
All
just
right.
one stage. It was very chill. And it had like a bunch of different genres and stuff. It was mainly pop punk because that was like my shit back in the day with bands like Gold Steps, who are now in I think like Michigan or Wisconsin or something like that. But I remember like the headlining three were Welcome Home, Hold Close, and The Weekend Classic. And there was just
All
like
right.
three like pop punky bands from like the Midwest area. And I remember like that on that specific show, we had some people I'd never met before come out and just tear it up. Like they were, this was, these were kind of the bands that like you would like pit in pop punk too, where like everybody's like going hard on the dance floor and stuff. And like in Denton, you know, a lot of people are really chill, probably pretty stoned, and we're just like, you know, vibing out. I'd be cool if like we had one pit, like, you know, whatever. But the last like three sets at least, they were going hard the whole time. And I was like, I kind of need more of this at my shows.
Wait,
Like, this is cool.
was it, are you in, were you inside the Killer's Tacos, or were you at the, isn't there a backyard stage? I don't think I've never seen a show in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a backyard stage. I think for that one, they did not have a backyard stage yet. That's right.
So it was
They,
inside, because that is
yeah.
kind of a very tight room to be moshing in.
Oh yeah, I've seen some crazy shit in that room though. Like people like hitting that little like there's like two rooms, right? And there's like a little
Yeah.
like
And
I
there's
don't know
like
what
that
to call that.
little,
Yeah, I've
and
seen
like the
people like
little
hit
wheelie,
that.
the monitor, or not monitor, the board is like wheeled around and
Yeah.
stuff. It like I think it, I mean, I honestly, I think I've only been there once for a show, unfortunately. Like I said, it's hard to make it out to Denton when you're from Dallas, to be, even though it's, you know, in the same area. But like I
Yeah.
saw Pulses and With Sails Ahead there, which was awesome show.
Awesome.
But I don't think no one really moshed, just because it was just like, it's just such a weird room, and it's like, and there's tables in the back, like
Yeah.
tables for like eating and shit. It's like, it's just kind of hard for me to like really imagine like being able to, I mean, obviously you could do it. And like, I guess like it's like two different rooms that they, and it's like has like this big, it's like not an archway, because it's not arch, but it's like, I don't
Yeah,
know,
this like
but so it's like you could
sconcey
hit
thing
like
that
those
comes.
ledges, or like on either side of the room. It's
And they do.
wow.
I've seen some really cool crowd participation in Killers, even though it's difficult to do that in such a cramped space, like you said.
Which,
But man, Pulses and Sails Ahead, damn, that was a great show.
and I Met a Yeti was supposed to, and Animal Jam were supposed to play that show too, but they were they just had just secretly been invited to what's it called, So What, and so
Oh
they,
yeah.
and so Zimmer is like, you can't play.
Yeah, God, Seymour.
Which, I mean, yep, all
We'll get
Zimmer,
into that,
right?
yeah.
But I guess now that we've got that, the origin of your, you know, festival escapades out of the way, when did Plus Fest, like what got that rolling? What made you decide you want to do this? Like, because this is the third Plus Fest, so we
Yeah,
had two more before that.
it's technically, so Plus Fest is weird because of the cadence of like events in Texas, right? Like you have your South by Southwest time, where like it is an unprecedented opportunity space where you can basically get like the craziest band to just kind of pop through without having to like bring them down with like big like guarantees and stuff like that. So there's technically been like five Plus Fests, but there's been two, like there's been Plus Fest, Plus Fest 1.5, Plus Fest 2, and then we had Plus Fest Presents Math Rock Homies Showcase this past South by Southwest, which was like there, Sweet Pill and Zeta and a couple of like really amazing Zeta's locals. Cool. Yeah.
But that's like you're doing like Jackass numbering basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's bullshit math, which I mean so is Math Rock.
Well, I mean so. I meant like not like Jackass, like you know the
oh, no,
movie
I know.
Show. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't mean to say you're
it's true though. But yes, yeah, Jackass.
I think you're a nice guy, Danny.
Thanks. I've met some nice jackasses before.
Like me.
but yeah, I mean, there's been, this is going to be the three like whole integer, I call it, 2 day festivals.
three whole integers. I like that. That's
exactly
good.
So it got started, like I said earlier, because we really just wanted to like bring the math rock scene together in Texas. I think there had been a lot of like small communities surrounding bands like Televangelist and Trying Science, Abelia, which I'm super glad they're coming back for this, and of course Hikes, especially in like the Austin area. There were a lot of really cool like just pop-up math rock projects that were making some really fucking cool stuff. So I wanted to kind of unite like those little microcosms of bands into something that like we can do annually, or at least like reoccurring, which at the time Plus Fest was not supposed to be reoccurring. We just wanted to kind of bring everybody up here and have like a good time. The fact that we were able to get one Half Sleep to come back, because they weren't playing at all. I think Brian, the drummer, had been doing some like, I think he had been in like Arizona or something like that for, I think he was doing like a residency or something. And then of course getting Hikes to play, which blew my mind because I was a little fanboy of them at the time. Like I hadn't met any of them. It wasn't like that, you know, I had met Nathan Gass of Half Sleep plenty of times, and we were just, we were close. Like we're homies now. Like he played our first dance at my wedding, but it was like going kind of beyond my scope as a both Math Rock fan and a booking agent to kind of make something that I feel like could make a stronger community of Math Rock that's like both physical and something that people can look forward to at like a reoccurring sense.
Okay, I see. So like you gotta bring in reinforcements to like get it going.
I definitely wanted to, especially there was a band that you might have heard of called Animal Jam that had just started.
Got
at
their
the
shirt
time.
On. I don't even think you can see
I noticed
it,
that. They're so good. Holy shit. I had booked them, I want to say like half a year earlier. And I think it was one of their first shows. It was out at the Killers backstage. I'm not going to name that band. But they opened for a band that used to be pretty popular touring and stuff, Math Rock. But I saw them and I was like, okay, like we have Abelia and stuff up here and they're amazing. But like, because we had two, I feel like math rock bands that were one playing often, two creating some like really quality music, and three kind of like on the up. I was like, I really want to try and like cement something here. Yeah, definitely.
Make sure
like
they cross paths and make sure they enter, which, and that's, I think that's kind of a lot of what this scene is. I think is like its success has come by the fact that all these people have been, you know, not even just collaborating, like, you know, like playing on each other's songs and stuff, like just like, you know, been in contact with each other, been like made good relationships with each other, things like that, has made, I think, a huge difference in like how big the scene. I mean, obviously, the fact that, you know, a lot of bigger bands, you know, blew up and stuff like that earlier in the decade, you know, made a huge difference too. But I think it's, there's a really strong scene under like that level. And it's mainly, I think it's because all these bands are just like chill with each other. And so it's like, it was really important to like make sure it's like get them to get the that those contacts made for sure.
In retrospect, I'm really glad it happened. And there's been other things like Hikes Fest and stuff like that, especially in like the South by Southwest space that we're doing those things, but they're not like it happened under the umbrella of South by Southwest, whether it was like official South by Southwest or not. It was like something that like kind of bubbled up and like made this beautiful thing in the moment and then like kind of disappeared for a year. Like, will it happen next year? That sort of thing. I was fortunate enough to see like Granite Hands, Abelia, Trying Science, and then like a ba bands like Taking Meds and stuff, who was like Such Gold, the Such Gold folks in there, and like this random house show. That was that same year that Math Rock Times Fest happened, and then the Math Rock Fire Fest with Mylett's and like Floral and Standards and like all of these other bands that kind of came off of like the Math Rock Times thing. And that was the last like South by before the pandemic happened. It was the fact that like now you could see once the pandemic happened, like that this is not something that could be occurring anymore. Like it could
Absolutely.
be done, you know?
And
Yeah.
well, I was gonna say, like, the thing about South by too is like even before the pandemic, it had already gotten kind of weird. Like, 'cause I lived in Austin. I went to school there, and I guess like when I'm a freshman, sophomore, like South by was a totally different thing than when I was, you know, the other 4 years I lived there. And that's because, I mean, it's terrible tragedy, but someone drove through a crowd of people and like,
Right.
you know, I think they killed like a person. I you have to look at it. I don't want to, you know, it's not to, you know, I can't really do it justice because I don't remember the story that well, but
Yeah.
it basically changed how a lot of how South by worked. And like it really made it huge. So suddenly like official shows were like kind of a really big deal, and you had to actually like get passes and things like that. You had to like get on list and things. Before, where it was like you could just wander the streets and you could just find your way into different venues and things like that. And so it kind of South by is just it's just a very different thing now because of that tragedy, unfortunately. That had already and even and I mean I haven't been since I don't think I've been since like 2018 or 19s. I mean, I guess they didn't have been in 2020, but it's like there's a lot of things that have kind of changed the way South by works for so.
Yeah, good call out. Absolutely. That whole thing always, or like just scenes in general will become modified in that way. The fact that it happened at such like a like jarring way, you can definitely see the ramifications of that in the way South by is conducted nowadays, like you said. And oftentimes like the safety and the preparation, like the buttoned-up approach, isn't. It's kind of an antithetical to the DIY
What it
scene.
was before, exactly.
The spirit of DIY that was South
Exactly.
by.
And the other
And
thing
it was
too
like,
is I think
yeah.
it's, I mean, I'm sorry.
No, you're
You
good.
I'll say like it's really moved from like, you know, being like it was like film interactive music, basically. Like it was a whole week. And so like the first and they kind of, you know, overlap a little bit. It's like, you know, the first 3 days is film, then it's whatever, like the tech stuff or whatever back then. And then it's like music for like the weekend. But now it's almost like, you know, it's film and it's interactive and they kind of squeeze music out or they made music kind of like a side thing is the other thing about it too.
It kind of fills in the spaces.
Exactly.
We definitely saw a lot of that in the Math Rock Homies Fest that Carlos Rozelle and I did this past time. We started at like 2 p.m. I think at Man, I think they want it to be called the Ballroom, but it was Spider House Ballroom.
Spiders, yeah.
And yeah,
Cool place,
it
yeah.
was like a trickle in of like tech people and stuff because everybody was getting out from like the tech conference that had been happening around that area on that Tuesday, like morning slash afternoon time. So it definitely seemed like, oh, like okay, the main thing is done now, like what's this kind of a thing. So yeah, the fact that it's like it all seems so fleeting is part of the reason why I really wanted to, you know, get Plus Fest to be like a consistent like a consistent thing in the scene, something that people can like look forward to and be like,
I
oh,
think it's
It's not like that house venue is not going to get shut down for South by next time or what have
exactly,
you
yeah. Which I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, they, I mean, house venues would get shut down all the time, and there are all kinds of like weird stuff that would just happen back. I mean, back in the day, just because you know it was very informal and things like that. But
Yeah.
yeah.
So keeping that like a DIY vibe, but making it more formal, if you will, is kind of like
Exactly, yeah.
that cross section I'm shooting
It's more
for.
like, yeah, it's like an organized thing, but it's like done in a DIY way with like DIY bands. So
Yeah, and very focused on the bands and on the community. We don't price in a way that well, let's say we price in a way where like we make sure that our band and our venue are gonna get paid like the way that they should be getting paid. And if there's more, you know, we can reinvest it in the next year or whatever, but that's the focus is getting the band here,
making sure.
celebrating the community, getting them paid.
And I guess that's almost feels like almost like a Dallas approach versus like the Denton approach to it, which is like, you know, Denton is very like house shows, things like that, but like Dallas is like, yeah, we're all DIY, but we're also trying to, you know, play like at venues and Deep Elm, things like that. So it's kind of like, it's almost like a halfway approach, but it's very, but that's a very like common thing in Dallas area for sure. Not necessarily Denton, but like in Dallas, but
I agree. Yeah, and I think it's become like necessary because we are shooting higher instead of like Plus Fest One, where we basically just crowdsourced a bunch of math rock bands from the area. Math rock is not as like numerable as it was back then. There are definitely a new crop of math rock bands like coming up, which I absolutely adore, but I'm trying to like diversify which scenes we pull from, like being able to get Silhouette of Nude from Japan and Sauce from the East Coast and Dwellings from the West Coast and that sort of thing, like necessitates like a more business-like approach, which I am not like a huge fan of as a kid who, you know, cut his teeth in Denton, if
what
you
you want to do
will.
your local scene, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at some level, like there's only so much growth that can come from just everybody in this area getting together and then dispersing and getting together and dispersing, like being able to create like those. There was a guy named Dallas who's in Medians who's playing this year. He flew in from Florida Plus Fest 2 as just like this guy who's starting a math rock band back in Tallahassee, but basically was just a huge fan of math rock. And getting to facilitate him meeting some of his like idols like Via Luna and stuff, and the most I wouldn't have been able to do that if I kept it in our backyard, if that makes sense. So that like having
Yeah.
those opportunities has made me like want to shoot for the stars, if you will. I'm not trying to be Arctangent, but I want something that, you know,
You
can
can
bring a
that,
larger swath of people together.
and you know, exposes the scene more too, because you're be able, I mean, like there are people who will come from for Dwellings or you know, Via Luna and Mylett's who are gonna see bands that they've, you know, like never heard of before, who just, and they're probably, I mean, they're probably going to be people from like Dallas and Denton and that area and Fort Worth and stuff like that. They're going to see
Yeah.
bands that like that are right around the corner from them, and then they'll be able to, you know, go to their shows from, they'll be, you know, regulars for those bands now.
Yes, that's the big opportunity there for me, is like cross-pollinating fans. And that was like also the mindset behind diversifying our genres this time around, because we really had not made an effort to do Midwest emo, or like we tried to do a little bit of mathcore. Observer is basically our only like actual mathcore band this time around, but we were trying, we had like Endless Nameless and those bands, try to get Kaonashi, that sort of thing,
Oh, that'd be
but
cool.
yeah, it would have been awesome. Didn't quite work out with them, but our camp loves them. But like some random like pop punk kid who likes Trash or likes Sunfo or likes Saturday at Your Place or whatever, like comes to Plus Fest and then sees fucking Snooze or like Mylett's or God forbid the fucking silhouette of Nude, and they're just like, what the fuck is this? And it blows their little minds. Like that's like turning people on to those sorts of things that they didn't know exist. That just like makes me so happy to think I could facilitate that sort of thing.
And I will say, for something I'm trying to kind of work, I'll see if I can get it done by the end of the week. Hopefully I do, but I also know I was working on, I was going through like where all the bands were from, like, and you did actually really diversify, like who, like what band you got, 'cause you got, I thought it was kind of funny. Like you got like a band from San Antonio, a band from Houston, a band from Austin. It's, you know, like a band from Oklahoma, things like that. Like you really kind of like made sure you got covered a lot of your bases, it seems like.
Yeah, I have a hometown visualizer is what I call it, because I'm like totally a data viz style graphic designer that hat it's like actually like a map of the US and Japan, and it pinpoints where everybody is from. I'll have to send that to you.
All right, right on.
It's a cool little spread for sure.
I would actually love to like look at that.
We're doing
I
a
love
like
maps
a
and maps and charts. That shit, that's the way to my heart.
We have this limited print we're doing at Plus Fest that's like a type chart where like bands have like Pokemon typings, like there's like a main
Oh,
like
I see what
Pokemon
you, yeah,
type and then like
like the,
a supporting type. Those like subgenre breakdowns and stuff have like the two
like the little
like if you
symbol and
look.
like,
Yeah, if you look like at the individual band graphic, you'll see like math rock and then like Midwest emo, and they're like together. And then there's like a little chart of like where bands like chart on like a bunch of different things, like chugs and tapping and intricacy and that sort of
you
thing. We have
know
like a
the
whole spread.
stats?
Yeah, stats, exactly. Sorry, yeah,
Oh my
stats.
gosh.
We have
You
like
should make
a yeah.
cards.
Yeah. Some math rock trading cards.
Math rock trading cards. That's why you're about to make
Shit,
Pokemon
dude. I'm gonna have to give you your royalties on that, huh?
Maybe I might bleep that out so no one steals it from you. I'm just
Yeah.
kidding.
Sorry, intellectual property, bro. Oh, that's awesome.
So I mean, I guess now that we're kind of like getting into like the individual bands, like who are you most excited to like see or like have on your show? Like,
That's a tough question. I love Via Luna. I had them back last. They like stayed at my house during Plus Fest 2, and I just got to know the dudes. They're really cool, and the fact that they saw it fit to play like the only planned full album set of Calm and Clear, their like 10-year is really really neat. But as far as like new bands go. I am so freaking excited for Sauce, because
oh yeah.
I've been a fan of Sauce since like 2017 or something. Whenever they released their self-titled, I like hit them up and bought a Sauce beanie that I had for the longest time. And so like being able to get them down here, and me be able to meet Adam and everything, will be super special to me. But also so the reason Saturdays at Your Place was able to come, or the fact that I even like thought about inviting them, was because my wife found them on TikTok, and she was like, "Hey, I think you'd like this band." And like, she shows me bands sometimes, but it's never like the kind of band I can book to these things. And I just fell in love with the Always Cloudy EP that they released late last year. I think it's like one of the most perfect pop punk slash Midwest emo records that I've ever heard personally, just all the way through. It's just phenomenal. And they, I don't know, they must be crazy because they're playing Coachella on the 13th, which is in Michigan. And then they are driving for 2 days to hit North Texas, just straight. Like,
I've done that before, actually.
How is
so
it?
I bet okay it's shit, let me think, how did I do it? All right, I was in Kalamazoo, and then I went to South Bend, which I just did that like that night, and then after that I went from South Bend to I went to Chicago, and then I drove all the way to St. Louis, and I did that in a day. That I mean, I like to drive, honestly. I like to road trip, so but like I was kind of like I kind of rushed. Because I slowly went all the way up to Michigan from Dallas, and I mean, I just did because I like to road trip. But I kind of started running out of money, so I was like, okay, I gotta get home quick. And so like that wasn't terrible, like going from Chicago to St. Louis, but it was going to from St. Louis to Dallas that like kind of really like screwed me up. Because the thing is that I guess the way I went, I think I was trying to avoid tolls first time.
Nice.
But I drove through like I guess you go through like northeast Arkansas to like Little Rock, and like that I mean you, after you get through like the Ozarks or whatever, like northeast Arkansas is just like farm roads, and
it's all
it's like
ass.
It's like one lane, and you're like stuck behind like, you know, 18 wheelers, and like maybe there'll be a tractor in front of you or some shit. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Oh dude, I've driven the Arkansas path before. I know what it's like going 90 around a tractor, and then like, oh, having to get
yeah
back
exactly
over, gotta pass those guys, man. Yeah, they're I big ups to the Saturdays at Your Place guys. I'm really excited for them, and the fact that they saw it fit to come down was just absolutely bonkers. I think I'll like close it out as far as my favorites with the two reunions, because we have Terra Collective, who are just like this incredible group of like mega gifted jazzy motherfuckers, who they like sub-headlined the first Plus Fest and then haven't really done anything because they've just like life has happened and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get it back together. And of course, like Abelia making it work and getting back. I'm really excited for them. And you did mention Chicago. Snooze, boy. Snooze, that band is incredible. I'm so excited.
They played in Dallas like recently. And like I saw them, but
I actually got to see Snooze this past December, in Amarillo, because my buddy Austin, who has been around Plus Fest since the beginning, plays in a band called Rain Division up there, and it was them, Snooze, and Standards, and I got to do a little bit of mushrooms for that show, and I'm not like a guy who does like that often, especially in like public and stuff, but a buddy of mine was just like, hey, and I was like, yeah. So it was just a magical set. Seeing Snooze, is they're just like pinpoint accuracy with those like crazy chugs, and they're doing like a four-part harmony like over it and holding it for like 16 bars. You're like, these guys are like a force to be reckoned with. So that band, man, they're going to be so incredible. They're headlining the inside stage right before Mylitz. It's going to be nuts.
Right on, right. I actually love how like everyone plays West Texas these days. Like they have shows in like Lubbock and Amarillo. I'm really like just love to go out to like Lubbock and see like some crazy show, to be honest, one of these days.
Yeah, definitely. They got some good promoters happening there. I think I don't know his name, Michael Roscoe or something like that, is doing starting to do Lubbock shows. And then my buddy Austin Hanna does Amarillo. So hit those guys up if you
All
want
right.
to do that shit out there. If you want to drive
Course.
5 hours.
I mean, like I said, I like to road trip. But of
Yeah.
course, you know, West Texas is a little bit rough sometimes. Not much going on
So
visually.
boring to drive.
It really is just like flat for thousands of miles out there.
Thousands, bro.
Yeah. So, I guess what so this is like kind of plus fest, it's plus fest 3, but it's like kind of plus fest 5, I guess. So
Kind of.
I was wondering, like, are there any lessons you've learned through like doing plus fest, you know, four other times plus all the other festivals you've worked on before?
Yeah, over communicate is like the biggest one. Over communicate as much as you can, because people always have questions and you won't always be able to be there to answer those questions. And when people have questions that aren't answered, miscommunications happen and it can spread pretty quickly. So that's the reason I'm spending so much time on this informational advance, because I need the bands to know. Like, it'll have the kind of thing where it's like, when this band loads out at like this time, you can load your stuff on. And if there's nobody around, ask one of our sound people for help and we'll get blah, blah, blah. It's communicative, but also like down into the details, so that bands don't show up and feel like, what the
Like,
fuck's happening? You know, they feel like guided through the whole thing if they read it. You know, some bands are just like,
if they're
it's the document, whatever. Which it's supposed to be DIY, so that leads me into like the next thing, which is like, no pressure, like just have fun with it. I definitely, especially the first couple, I stress myself the fuck out for the first 4 hours of the show. Like, oh, there needs to be more people here. Oh, like, are we doing okay? You know, is that band all right? Like, who's not set up merch yet? And like, just kind of, you know, swiveling my head until I'm dizzy. And at the end of each night of every Plus Fest, I remember telling myself, like, hey, you need to enjoy it, like from the very beginning. Which I'm always the kind of guy who like goes to a show and then like stands in front of the crowd and will dance even if he doesn't know the words and that sort of thing. And you can't really do that as a like the point person on a
you
festival.
gotta be like
But
on the
I,
ball, yeah.
yeah. Which is why, like, I've taken the time to choose people that I trust and that I know will
Get it
like do a
done.
great job, exactly, that have that sort of like innate responsibility and also like love for the music and like the process to you know, do what I would do if I wasn't there, kind of a thing, which makes them true partners in this. I keep saying like, I'm excited that I can do this, but it's really like a true we this time around, which I'm really like honored to be able to head this group of people, because they're incredible. So this I'm looking forward to my point, to be able to like take a couple more moments to like vibe out to a band or like scream at somebody because I know the words to a song, and like not always be in the back like trying to figure out what the next move is and that sort of thing. That might be, I think, like the last takeaway. The planning process, and I'm dealing with this time around as well, is to not bite off more than you can chew as far as like promising bands things. Because this time around, we have like a pretty big room fee. The past few times, Killer's Tacos and Backyard on Bell have been completely free to use. Like, we didn't have to do anything as far as like meeting demands to be able to play shows there. So this time around, like, yes, I brought more people, but it also is more expensive. So like being able to supplement those things with strategies and then like deliver the day of is like what my team and I are really trying to like hammer home, which is why like we have like lateral promo sponsors like the Demo Team podcast and like Cyborg's Math Rock memes and We have like bands selling pre-sales, which is something I've never done in my entire life. I've never like given bands pre-sales to sell. But being able to deliver on upping the ante like this helps both the community and the bands, as well as the entire like show running process, to be able to do it again, to be able to have a positive experience, the vibes are all good, that sort of thing. It takes like everybody coming together and making it happen. So I think last time around, the thing that I realized on the whole, like, don't bite off more than you can chew, mantra is like, I printed way too many Plus Fest 2 shirts. I had no clue, like the demand that they would have, which was not a whole lot. So this time around, I've been a little bit more like realistic with myself, and look out for Plus Fest 2 shirts along with the Plus Fest 3 shirts at our Plus Fest merch booth.
Can sell them together, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah, it's like
bundle price.
bundle, yeah, the Plus Fest sequel, I don't know, like
Yeah.
bundle or whatever.
It's like the
Two
antique
and three.
shirt. Yeah, the
Exactly.
throwback. Because shit, at this point, it's been like 4 years since that Plus Fest 2. That's just nuts, man. Ugh.
COVID,
Yeah, dude. Yeah, weird what happens when there's a global pandemic or some shit. Would
Well, you
not
know.
recommend.
Yeah, would not. So, I think we got through a lot of the Plus Fest 3 stuff. What else? I mean, like, when do you think you're going to start working on Plus Fest 4? If is that too far ahead or
We've already started working on 3.5.
3.5? Okay.
Yeah, which will probably be, we'll probably have two Plus Fest aligned shows in March, which will be the Math Rock Homies Fest, which will be in Austin. And then bands can connect like that next weekend for Plus Fest 3.5 coming out of Austin. So we've already started like taking our like shots with bands and stuff, without promising anything. I've started talking to Elephant Gym from over east. They're an incredible band and they're trying to do their world tour, so that might be something in the works. But we've definitely started on that. Plus Fest 4 is something I've been talking to a certain sponsor that we have already about since May. So it's been the we know it's going to be in June of next year, which fucking sucks because it's Texas,
Got it. Yeah.
but it's to accommodate a certain set of bands that can only tour in that time frame, and it's going to be probably the best Plus Fest in my
All
opinion.
right. So, but you're basically planning three festivals in the next year. I guess four, but
Yeah,
including this one,
pretty
that's
much.
I think you might be a festival addict at this point, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a problem. I'm obsessed.
I think it's a very good problem, though, for sure.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to hopefully not like absolutely murder myself this next year, and to be like bringing other people in and like really sharing the joy of the process.
Absolutely. And I mean, is there anything like specific in any this planning for this upcoming Plus Fest 3, which is this weekend? What days specifically?
It's
I
the
don't think we
14th and
mentioned
15th.
14th and 15th in
Yeah.
Denton. At what was the venue again?
Rubber gloves, legendary
Rubber
rubber gloves.
Gloves.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the next three Plus Fest iterations, is there anything like you're really excited about or you're looking forward to in that, you know, time frame that you're currently working on or?
Yeah, I am really excited to continue like sharing this experience, especially for this next one, this Math Rock Homies Showcase in Austin. This past time around, I had such a great time with Carlos Rozelle, who used to do Cloud Nine booking. He now lives in Oklahoma, but that was an Austin-based venture. being able to like really nail an awesome show with somebody who is like operating on the same level I am, being like true partners in it, was a joy that I really hadn't known previous to that, because it had always been like Bolivar plus DIE collab show, or Bolivar plus like Long Live Booking collab show. But it wasn't like coming together to form this like Math Rock Homies like group, where it's like I didn't have to like be collabing with somebody. I was creating something new. In that same way, being able to like bring Alex into Bolivar Booking, like I get to trust somebody to like and like invest in their creative expression, which is something that I've only done as a booking agent to bands, which is like a transaction in a way more than like a an act of trust. So like being able to diversify who I work with and like letting their ideas flow as a representation of both them and Bolivar and PlusFest is, I think, my greatest joy now, other than like jamming out to the bands that I book, which is, there will never be anything that matches that.
Absolutely. Nothing better than the day of, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all stress until you hear that first note.
Before, I don't think we're kind of reaching the end. I think we're kind of scraping. I mean, I'm sure we could actually talk for hours and hours. We've done pretty well, but I guess, do you want to talk about your music? You're currently in a band, right?
You could call Yearner a band. We're basically just this three-piece math punk outfit, who is basically me as a guitarist, the drummer of Sunsleep, Mason Crony, and then the bassist. Well, he's the guitarist of Portal Frame in Houston, Lane Galloway, who plays bass in it. And it's basically just trying to play really like high octane, happy sounding, sporadic math rock music in a punk format, where it's not really like straightforward like punk, but it's fast, loud. Think of like Grown Ups or something like that, where it's just kind of in your face, but it's all instrumental. That's the main thing I'm working on right now. I was in Brave Days. I do want to shout them out because they are releasing their first single. I think Dog Eat Dog is what it's called, in a long time. They're like punk music, a little bit Christian and stuff like that, but definitely punk. And then I'm trying to join a band up here pretty soon here. I was playing with a band called Comic Relief for a second, who are, they're a really cool little, they would fit with like Trash and like Sunfo and that sort of thing.
All right.
Really quirky. But yeah, I'm definitely looking to join something up here. I'm always writing for Yearner though. So we have like a 12 song LP that's kind of like a concept record, coming out probably between 2 years and 45 years from now. So who knows?
Hopefully 2 years, right?
Yeah, let's hope. Depends on the money.
Yep. That'll hang up, right?
Yeah, honestly.
Anything else we can talk about? Or
what are you working on?
What am I working on?
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm kind of doing like acoustic emo right now, kind of like Never Shout Never stuff, but I'm trying to make it kind of twangy and country-ish.
Fuck yeah, I love that.
It's kind of weird, but I guess I've written like a lot of like the instrumental stuff, but I'm trying to figure out exactly like my voice side, because to be honest, I've only recently started singing. Like I really like grew up not having any idea how to sing. I was really bad at it, but I kind of reverse engineered a voice, like, because I learned, like, one day I was like really drunk and I was like, fuck, and I was like by myself and I was like, fuck, I'm gonna teach myself how to like do like dirty, like, you know, like fry vocals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I did that. And then after doing that, I was able to figure out how I like reverse engineered how to sing after doing that, which is like kind of
That's
just
awesome.
kind of insane, I think, to be honest. But like it doesn't sound terrible. And so because of that, I mean, there are other things like that, like made me like decide I was gonna like start writing music. Cause like I took a long time off of music, but and like I guess I mainly do it by myself, but and like you've had like projects that I've kind of like started and gave up on, started to give up on, just like, but I guess there, what the main thing that really made me start writing music again was, which is kind of crazy, was when I heard Absolutely Cranking My Motherfucking Dog by Bill Murray. That
Yes.
was the thing that
Johnny
made me
Frank,
start.
the legend. That's
I
awesome.
remember I told Johnny that, like, I met him, I guess the first So What when it came back, like he didn't quite headline, but he was like one of the last acts, and he like stayed till after, like to the very end, like after like the headliners had already like stop playing, so I got to talk to him, like, and I was like one of the last, like he really stayed the whole time, and I was like, yo, your album, I mean, it was really just the song honestly made me start writing music, and he was very touched by that. So
he's a really heartfelt guy, which
he really
his
is.
like internet persona, you wouldn't really think
I've tried to, well, I guess when Goblin Hours came out, I guess that was like exactly a year ago. I tried to write like a whole like retrospective on like mainly Bill Murray, but like just his whole music career or whatever. And like, it's like all this irony and like contradictions and things like that. And it's just like, I don't know. I guess I am a very big Bill Murray fan.
Yeah, he's fantastic. That would be somebody I would like, non-ironically be like, please headline
please
Plus Fest.
I mean it's the last So What, that was like one of the best concerts I had ever seen, honestly. Like he stole the show. Like it was the best performance at So What easily. And but
he's a front man for sure.
yeah,
That's
but I
awesome,
think
dude.
it would be cool to like have him, you know, play on a smaller stage, I guess, or like,
Yeah, definitely.
yeah,
He can do it too. I've seen them play in the basement of
absolutely.
J&J's before. So it's a, you know, he'll fill a room no matter how big.
Absolutely.
Do you have a name for your band yet, or your artist?
I think
it's okay if it's a no.
So I guess I have this one and I have another one, but I kind of was working on before I was working on that, like when I was still living in Dallas, and I kind of like dropped that to work on this one. And I don't have a name for that one, but this one, I guess I would call it Andrew Cash, which is like my name, which is Andrew Cash
Nice.
Spicer. So, but it sounds like, you know, Andrew Cash sounds like Johnny Cash. And
Yeah.
so that's kind of like almost the idea, like you almost trick people into thinking you might be related to him, right?
Some lateral, like,
Yeah, but I guess
squeeze.
it's, yeah, it's like, you know, emo country kind of basically, which is kind of
I
weird,
love
but
that.
that's not really
No,
weird,
no.
but it's like,
That's
it, like, it
awesome.
really isn't weird at all, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to really lean into both at the same time. So it's,
Love it, dude. Absolutely.
appreciate it. Yeah.
I did want to shout out to anybody that needs like album art or anything like that. That's like how I make my actual money is I do like graphic design shit. So like I got started on that, like a real boost by doing like Riley's self-titled, and like that is like some of my favorite shit to do, is just like giving a face to a set of like songs and stuff. So hit me up for
And
album art and shit
like
and
I said at the
posted and
very
all that.
beginning, he does amazing work. Like all the flyers for Plus Fest have all been like flyers, memes, all this, all of it has looked terrific. Like it's, I mean, obviously professionally done. He's professional. But like it just looks very, very good. Like it's very crisp, and it's all thematic. The logo I think is really cool too. Like it's, like,
Thank
I don't know,
you.
it's some, I mean, I don't know enough about graphic design to really describe it. As like I said, I do it all in Paint and Google
Make it work, man.
PowerPoint, whatever their version of it is. But but yeah,
Slides.
it's been all very, very impressive. So I
Thank you, man.
recommend hitting up Danny for your graphic design stuff.
Got those DIY rates, bro. I
Hell
appreciate
yeah.
your time, Cash. Thank you so much.
I appreciate yours. This has been a really cool interview. I guess earlier when I brought this back, I guess the first time I forgot what season this is currently on. I kind of said I wanted to branch out, not just do bands. I wanted to, talk about, people who are doing, putting on festivals and things like that. And so it's cool to like get other perspectives of the music scene. So thank you so much, Danny. This has been quite enlightening, honestly. As someone who kind of almost has some ideas about maybe putting on shows and stuff myself that I might want to try in the near future. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
You too.